Save the Semantics, episode 252. It is March 25th, 2024. My name is Myra. This is the podcast where I ramble on for a bit about some shit. Recording this on a Monday evening. Somewhat nice weather. Like, do I need to comment about the... That's just the most visible thing within my vicinity is just the weather. Weather's okay. It's a little cloudy. It's cool. It's back to kind of this coolish weather. Sort of not quite winter, but you know, maybe like early spring-ish weather. I mean, it is technically early spring right now, but it feels a little you know. I guess the weather fits the time where it is right now. It was warming up slightly, but yeah, we're back to kind of a bit of a cooler weather, and we might have that for a little bit ahead of time. Okay, whatever. It's the weather report for this week and today. I've been thinking quite a bit, especially sort of with the recent news going on regarding sports betting and everything like that. I know this is something that I've already discussed in the past, but I feel, and it has become a lot more pervasive. There's been a lot of headlines as of late regarding some betting scandals, gambling scandals, and that sort of thing. And I mean, none of this is like, none of this is surprising at all. Just considering how integrated gambling is nowadays within, you know, the sports world. So I wanted to touch upon that a little bit before I kind of got into some of the Warriors talk that I wanted to get into, which is not good. We're not in a good place, but I'd much prefer to, like, you know, discuss, I guess, you know, what the future holds for this team, as opposed to the dangers of gambling, I guess. I don't know. It's really unfortunate, honestly. Just how the reinstallment, if you want to call it that, of gambling, essentially the allowing of gambling to be legal, the legalization of gambling. Why was that so difficult for me to get to that point? The legalization of gambling across the U.S. in particular, but also in other countries as well. Like, it's not something that you've necessarily considered to have such a widespread impact. And I think I feel it much more just because I watch basketball more frequently, you know? I mean, as I've mentioned before, the ads are everywhere. The gambling, over-unders take place during the game. It's so much. You know what I mean? It's so much so that there's this game within the game. And it's like every... I don't even know, man. It just feels like every second there's like something related to gambling. And it sucks. It takes away from enjoyment of the sport. I'm already complaining about the ref and the ref ball that occurs within the game. So it's like that plus the gambling advertisements. It sucks. It's not a good product, man. It's really not. You know, I've talked about how I you know, as I kind of progress through the season, and this happens year to year, how I kind of go in waves. You know, at the very beginning of the season, I'm super into it just because I'm like, I had been craving basketball for so long that I'm just like, I'm ready to take whatever. I don't care who it is. like preseason, I'm watching. I'm ready for the regular season. I'm watching, you know, whoever. I'm watching Washington play Detroit. I'm into that. You know what I mean? as the season progresses, right, like my attention for it, depending on whatever I'm busy with at the moment, sure, that might have an effect too. But I also think that I'm just consistently getting turned off from watching games as well, you know? Like, I am also in a busy period with my work and all that, so that, of course, you know, has an effect on me having the time to watch games, but also just, like, the nature of you know, the broadcast is, and just the product overall is really not good, at least in my opinion, you know what I mean? I think I'm at a point where I struggle. So I have League Pass. I have the version where I do have ads just because it's cheaper, you know? It's a little hard for me to justify getting the highest package, and then plus also the fact that there's, like, the blackout. I mean, there's so many things, like, stacking up on top of each other that make it difficult for me to enjoy this sport that I've loved for so long. You know what I mean? It is all peripheral nonsense. It is all this extra bullshit that is, like, weakening the sport. It's making it difficult for me to literally watch the game. It is making me difficult to enjoy watching the game because of all this nonsense that gets thrown into the broadcasts, the advertisements, the stupid whatever, over under parlays. Not, I don't care about any of that. And then obviously, like I've mentioned, the on-court product with the refereeing just being very poor, noticeably poor this year. And then it's just a combination. It's just a culmination of all these things have added to be a really not great viewing experience, and it sucks. It's really unfortunate. Now, kind of within the current news cycle, there's a scandal involving Shohei Ohtani, who is part of the Los Angeles Dodgers, signed a massive contract earlier this year. Literally the biggest baseball contract of all time. He got caught up in a scandal involving his, I forgot if it's his agent or something, like his someone who's in his circle essentially got caught gambling. And he was sort of like linked to that, so there's like an investigation going, blah 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 blah. There was that, and then most recently, like pretty much like I just heard about this like an hour ago, there's an NBA investigation going into Jontay Porter for the Raptors. He's the brother of Michael Porter Jr. He was allegedly caught, or, you know, it's being looked into that he essentially bet on himself. That's sort of like the, you know, brief understanding of the story that I got. So yeah, man, it's out there. Like that one's like not crazy, but I think once the first scandal hits, I feel like it's gonna open up the doors for even more things to pop up, essentially, you know what I mean? And bringing it back to just kind of the basketball, the on-court product, the viewing experience as in general. And I don't want to go full on conspiracy mode, but I think it is entirely possible that referees have already been compromised. I think I'm talking like Tim Donaghy back in, you know, the early 2000s, you know, back during the Kings and Lakers series, where there was this clear, like it is a fact. It happened. And it wasn't that long ago that happened. So why couldn't this happen now, especially now, considering how pervasive gambling is across sports in general and across the NBA? Like, you don't think that there's some ref who wants a little bit of the pie? You know, he wants a little slice, get a little bit of a percentage, right? Oh yeah, let's put down, listen, if you have, I mean, there's so many instances where there's like, the one that comes to mind was the Knicks and the Rockets game that I watched a while back, where I think it was Jalen Brunson was called for a foul on Holiday. I forgot his first name, but he's one of the Holidays. It was like the clock was like about to run out at the end of the game. He was called for a foul. It was clearly not a foul. There was like no contact whatsoever. It wasn't like he was getting in his like shooter, you know, his landing zone or anything like that. It was a BS call, basically. And then last 2 minute report, that thing came out. It's like, oh, we made the wrong call. And then it's like, you can't overturn it. It's not like they protest. I think the Knicks protested the results of the game, but it's like nothing happened. It's like, okay. So there's tangible results that are being affected by the refereeing. And you don't think that maybe there's a little, maybe there's a potential connection between there being, you know, some betting thing and the refereeing's affecting that so they can receive some of the benefits. Like, you don't feel that? You don't think there's some outside external pressure from some large, I don't know, someone out there who has, you know, who has a stake in the game, causing there to be an impact on the results of the game? You don't think there is maybe a potential for that at all? I hate even thinking to like consider that, because I'm not someone, like, I complain about the refs a lot for sure. I mean, I feel justifiably complaining about the refs. I'm not someone who is full blown like, oh, it's you know, it's rigged in front of favor of blah 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's rigged for I don't know, the Lakers or, you know, whatever. But I think there are instances where it has been potentially compromised just because the results of the endings of the games are too suspicious for there not to have been something. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, man. It's just, I hate having to be this kind of, like, I don't want to be conspiracy theorizing by any means or whatever. I'm not someone who's that, you know, like that, disillusioned about things, but I am, like, I'm very skeptical, man. I'm just not, it's just, it feels very much like it is a domino effect to where we have gotten, you know what I mean? And that worries me a lot, just considering the future of the league and everything. And considering, I mean, in terms of just like current things, current upcoming events, I'm concerned about the playoffs a little bit. I am. I'm, you know, I mean, I'll get to the Warriors bit, you know what I mean? I mean, honestly, it might be good if we don't get into the playoffs, because then I don't have to worry about our team, like, potentially, I don't know, like, potentially getting, what is it, either favored for or favored against, you know, based off of refereeing. I'll just be like, oh yeah, we just didn't make it because we were bad. It's all just performance based, you know what I mean? And it's not at all due to external factors like refereeing and gambling and all that, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, maybe it might be a good thing that we missed the playoffs and then we can try to regroup next year. But I'm concerned for, I don't know, man. I'm concerned for the fans of other teams, and it just feels. I don't know, man. We're kind of on thin ice right here. We're at a point where it's just kind of, it's starting. There's these things. There are these little scandals that are like popping up. I also think it's hilarious in the case of Jontay Porter, where, you know, he's being investigated for, you know, potential. It was something like betting irregularities or something like that. It's like, all right, hold on a second. So you're saying that, I mean, sure, I get it. Maybe it's sort of like a case of insider trading or whatever. Like, if you're betting on yourself, right, you're betting on yourself to score more than like 10 points or whatever. It's like, you're going to be shooting the ball a lot. It's like, wow, Porter's, he's getting a shot up a lot more than recently, you know what I mean? It's like, I wonder what that's about. I guess he's, just, you know, shooting threes. He's never shot a three before. I don't actually know, what type of player he is. I think he's a center, right? But I don't know. It's funny because it's like, okay, so you're going to investigate this player for betting, but you're not going to be like, this is an issue. We can't have players betting, but we can have everyone else. We can have everybody else betting. We can have betting odds, you know, across, you know, the infographics and all that stuff, just like constantly throughout the game. And it's like, we can't have that. Like, you don't think that this is a result. You don't think that that's a result of all the, you know, all of all the decisions that have been made across the board. I don't know, man. Here's the thing. The thing with like gambling too, it's an addiction. It is. It's straight up. Gambling addiction, rather, is a thing. You can gamble and not be addicted, but I'm saying that, like, gambling addiction is a thing. It's been medically termed that, right? It's been medically defined as an addiction. And you could argue it's like, okay, well, this is sort of a thing of human nature. Like, if you didn't have, you know, if you didn't have these sorts of tendencies, then you wouldn't have a problem. Maybe if you were able to have a bit of self-control, then you wouldn't fall into the trap of becoming addicted or whatever. But it's not like some things, like, it is, you, there needs to be certain barriers. There needs to be certain, like, there's a reason why there's regulations and, you know, laws to discourage different, you know, certain types of behavior. You could argue the same thing, like, with drugs, whatever, right? The obvious ones, right? So it's like, in the case of gambling, now that it's been legalized quite dramatically across the board, there needs to be some kind of counter response to that. And I feel like I feel a little optimistic that there are going to be some changes, just because there's just too, I feel there's going to be cases. There's going to be a lot of cases where gambling companies are going to, you know, essentially turn a profit. Maybe there's like some individual who feels that he got screwed over or whatever. And I don't know. I feel that there's going to be, there's going to be some legalities and legal issues surrounding, this whole thing. So I have a little bit of, I'm optimistic that there's going to be change in the future. I think it's going to come down to just like voting for it and everything like that. I know that for there are still some states where sports gambling is illegal. I think in California it's technically illegal still. Like you can bet, you can't bet like in a casino in California, but if you go to like Nevada, you can bet on a team. There's that kind of exception, but you can also bet online too. So I don't know how the exceptions of the rules, I don't know how all that necessarily works out. If you're online, does it mean that you can't gamble? Does it mean that you can gamble because you're not technically, you know, you're not physically in, I don't know. But certain states, it's you technically aren't able to be gamble. You're not technically allowed to gamble, but I think that the number of states where you are just heavily outweighs that. So I think there needs to be some kind of statewide, you know, state level push first before kind of getting back into the federal side of things. But yeah, I'm hoping that there's going to be change. I also hope I go kind of going back to the NBA side of things. I'm hoping that there's going to be some more pushback from us as fans to be like, hey, listen, man, I love this sport. I think the athletes are awesome. I think there's a lot of really great stuff going on in terms of, like on the actual court. But all this other extra, you know, peripheral shit's gotta go, or at least be reduced significantly. You know what I mean? It's just the unfortunate thing, and you could, this is sort of like a thing where it's like human nature or whatever comes into effect. People like to gamble. It's just the thing. People like to take risks. There's the sense of rush, right? And then, you know, the gambling companies kind of take advantage of that, and then their industry continues to essentially kind of like, you know, exponentially grow. But there's got to be pushback a little bit. You know what I mean? I think I feel there's enough. There have already been like cases of, you know, just like people betting their life savings and you know, whatever. I talked about this last year with kind of gambling in gaming and stuff with like loot boxes and that sort of thing. That was regulated in certain countries. So like play, you know, games like CS:GO, who've been known to have loot boxes as a part of their sort of, you know, economy, if you want to call it that. That has been like essentially banned, regulated in certain countries in Europe. I don't know if that's a fact over here yet. So I feel that a similar level of regulations, of regulating, should occur here as well. You know, I don't know how, you know, it's not exactly the same industry, but it's the same concept, right? You're still gambling. So I don't know. I mean, the big issue I think is just how much money they, you know, how much power these companies, these gambling companies have. And clearly they're going to have some influence on the policy making and everything like that. So might be a bit of an uphill battle to try to, you know, introduce certain regulations and whatnot, but I want to be optimistic, because I feel like it's, I feel people are a lot more aware of this than maybe they want to acknowledge, or maybe they just don't want to acknowledge it because it's just kind of like they don't want to maybe admit that sports are deeply impacted by that. Again, here's the thing. I don't think there's really not that much of a problem. Okay, maybe not that much. Maybe I should phrase it differently. I don't have a problem with, I think if you can have a little fun taking risks and gambling or whatever, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I've done that. I've been to, like, a casino and gambled a little bit of money. But it just, it can be dangerous, especially if you don't have a hold of yourself, especially if you don't have, if you're not disciplined and you don't have the sense of how much money you're spending and you're really just trying to, you know, you're really trying to get rich quickly or whatever, you know what I mean? I think that's where it can get pretty, I don't know, you're risking to lose a lot. And there was this one example that I thought of. So back in the play-in tournament, this was back, or play, not the play-in tournament, excuse me, the in-season tournament that occurred back in November, December of this season. there was this one, I read this one post, and I don't know, I mean, I'm kind of taking it for face value a little bit, but I mean, why wouldn't I believe it? It felt pretty real for the most part. Basically this kid, I'm assuming is a kid, like it just sounded like a kid because it was just such a dumbass thing to do. But basically he was like betting like all of his savings, which is like $10,000 or something, on the Pacers winning the, in-season championship. And then when that didn't happen, I mean, he basically lost it all, right? So, I mean, just thinking about how certain decisions when you were younger can have such a impact on you today is, I don't know, man. I feel like that could be a whole load of regrets right there, you know? I mean, the kid said, he commented like, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I'm still young and all that. But it's like, dude, it's $10,000, man. And for your age, at that age, that's a lot of money. It is. It really is. Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, back when I was 18, if I had $10,000, like, I probably would have been kind of reckless, but, I mean, with it too, I can imagine, but, I mean, it's just when you have no sense of, when you have no idea of investing and then budgeting and then planning out your future and all that, it's like, if you have no concept of just finances, I think... like you're gonna bound to make like stupid mistakes for sure, but it's just like I don't know, man. It's just bad. It's just really bad. And I mean that shit, that's like life changing money for some people. That's life changing money for some people. And this kid is just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just gonna bet on my team to win, and then they don't win, and then I'll just shrug my shoulders. But it's just, you know. Like it is just like young, you know, irresponsible behavior. It is like the epitome of that. But man, it's still tough to see. You get a little secondhand kind of pain, if you want to call it that. But yeah, this whole spiel, I think it's gotten out of hand. Like it really has gotten out of hand. I hope it doesn't continue to get out of hand to the point where actual, tangible, you know, like real results are impacted by gambling and all that. I'm talking playoff basketball. I really hope it doesn't get to that point. I mean, it has in the past, so I mean, why can't it happen again? But I hope it doesn't. I really hope it doesn't. I hope that the game, the integrity of the game isn't fully tarnished by the end of the season. And I'm hoping, I think that there will be some legislation in the future that will address this. And you know, set up those kinds of barriers and whatnot. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of, like, there's been some headlines popping up, and that really kind of spurred my, you know, me wanting to talk about it and all that. But, yeah, if it gets to a point where it's almost, a part of the game, or it's just like so integrated with the game, I think I might be done, man. I think I might be done with the NBA, and that sucks. But hopefully we don't get to that point. Let's talk Warriors. not much happier. Like, not much positive news on this end either, but at least, like, we're talking actual basketball here. They've been bad. I really spoke too soon back when they were on their little streak after the post, you know, after post All-Star break, where they were kind of going up a bit in the standings. They're like, okay, you know, I was talking about how they could potentially get up to the sixth seed in a very, unreal, maybe somewhat of an unrealistic situation, but it was still kind of in the cards. It was still possible. At this point, no, we're not going to get up there. We might miss the play-in, potentially, because of the Rockets are surging. They're on an 8-game winning streak. They're right behind us. It's gonna get close, man. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But they've been bad. Yesterday they played the Timberwolves. I'm not, like, you know, they lost. I'm not, you know, I mean, I am disappointed, but I'm not, it's not like we lost to the Bulls. I mean, we did lose to the Bulls. I'm saying, like, it's not like it was the loss to the Bulls where it was very winnable, and we just couldn't execute down the stretch, and we were just getting cooked by DeRozan. This game, I felt, it's like, okay, whatever, we're playing the Wolves. They have one of the best defenses in the league. They got stops. Whatever. I know there's this conversation with about Steve Kerr and his rotations, and, you know, the fact that Curry only played like 30 minutes. I mean, yeah, that's not great. I don't think that's good, for sure. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of other. It is sort of this, you know, the lackluster coaching by Steve Kerr, the fact that we don't have the offensive firepower like we used to. It's Curry. Kuminga started to show signs. He had an off night last night. It happens. But yeah, just the rest of the team, they don't have the scoring ability to match, or, you know, to complement Curry, unfortunately. And that little stretch that we had where we were winning games and whatnot, I think a lot of it had to do with maybe some of our, you know, secondary players overperforming. I remember Pajemski was playing very well during that stretch, but he's definitely kind of come back down to earth, and so have some of our other players. I really noticed that we don't, like, Saric and Looney are completely out of the lineup, which I think is really interesting, and it means that we're just going uber small ball, like Draymond at the five, right, Kuminga at the four, just tiny. It's just a minuscule team. I feel like it could help to get some size out there. I feel Looney might have, you know, I know he's not there anymore. Like, he's just not at that level anymore. But we have a little size, I think, could have helped. Put him on Gobert. They have the same, like, foot quickness. Maybe Gobert's a little quicker, but I feel that would have been a better matchup than being undersized at the five. I mean, we're still undersized, but it's a little bit more size than Draymond at the five. I don't know, man. Like, he just, and he can't, you know, like Draymond, incredible defender. He can defend at all five positions. He's not at that same level as he was a few years ago. He's just not. It's age. It's age. Like what I mentioned at the very beginning, before even the season started, I was talking about age. I had my questions and whatnot. We're seeing it now. That's just what it is. And it sucks to see. I had a little bit of hope. There's like a flicker of hope, like, oh, maybe we'll make a, you know, first round kind of, you know, maybe we get a favorable matchup against like the Thunder or something like that. I mean, it's not really favorable at all, but it's the most favorable out of the top three, right? You know, we obviously don't want Denver. The Wolves swept us, and then the Thunder, we won like one game against them. So then you obviously make the argument of like youth and experience, but I don't know. It's tough to see. We kind of eked in last year and it worked out to a certain extent. We got past the first round against the Kings, but that was a close series. I don't think we're going to be able to replicate that this year. It's just what it is. I think instead of like, I'll still find ways to be disappointed. I mean, just the whole season has been kind of this, you know, just incredibly just demoralizing loss after the other, especially during the stretch kind of towards the beginning of the season. I don't know. I think I've sort of been through it, and I still will find myself to continue to be disappointed if we don't win against teams that we're able to win against. But I don't know. I still have like some hope that we can maybe make a bit of a run and whatnot, but I'm not putting too much into that. I just want to, you know, I just want to see Curry get like one more decent run. You know what I mean? This squad isn't it. I also don't want to like sacrifice our entire future, but I mean, you gotta do what you can, man, with one of the greatest players of all time on our team. And we didn't do that at the deadline. I understand the reasons behind that. You know, I mean, it was considering that it was like coming off of the loss of Neha, the assistant coach, but I mean, I don't know. We'll see, man. I think there's going to be a bit of a shakeup next year. I feel like I said that last year. We'll see, man. I'll try to enjoy it while I can. And like I said, maybe it'll be a bit of like a, you know, silver lining. If we get eliminated, then we don't have to deal with, refs rigging the games. And then someone else can deal with that heartbreak. Just really wanted to do a bit of a sports catch up. Since I haven't really talked too much basketball recently. That's going to do it for now. I will catch up later this upcoming weekend. All right, it is now March 30th, 2024. Recording this on a Saturday. Saturday afternoon. A bit cloudy. I like how I always start off with the weather. But that's just what it is, man. It's a little cloudy out. It's going to rain. Or rather, it is likely to rain later. Maybe later tonight. So I wanted to take advantage and do a little walk. Do a little walk and talk out here. Out here in the beautiful air of Mother Nature. And catch up on some stuff. A lot of basketball stuff I want to talk about. Some basketball stuff relating to this week. I've been able to watch some games, a good amount of games these last couple of days when I sort of had the time to have really sort of like I feel that, after sort of like after work slash in between my like work periods, I've like been able to sort of like maximize my time watching just like a bunch of games. Like a bunch of parts of games, especially like fourth quarters of games. So that's been kind of fun. It's really starting to get into the period, and I mean, you could argue now that we are in the period where games matter a lot. Each and every game for certain teams matter quite a bit, especially on the Warrior side of things. Just talking as a fan. Every game matters, moving forward. So that sort of adds a lot of, stakes and some excitement and stuff. So, yeah, there's been some pretty good games, that I've been able to catch up on. I think that, that there were a lot of qualms earlier on, like a few years back, with the play-in and all of that. I think that's sort of been discussed to quite the extent that I think the play-in has been probably the most successful new addition to the NBA in sort of recent, history. Obviously, this past year there was the in-season tournament, which seemed to sort of have some, level of success. How that can be sustained moving forward, we will see. But as like the sort of if you're looking at it from a very cynical standpoint, the reason is to drum up more viewership during kind of the lull periods of the season, which makes sense, right? Obviously, I talked about this back in November, December, but play the in-season tournament is sort of meant to be a sort of this a reason for fans to tune in earlier on in the season. Play-in is, kind of additional stakes, more allowing more teams to vie for playoff contention, which I think is a good thing. It makes, some of the more middle teams, it allows them to be more competitive and allows them to, it gives them more reason to fight for, playoff positioning. It gives the top six seeds of each conference that much more weight, which sort of incentivizes teams to be even, to focus and treat every game as, the level of disrespect or whatever it deserves, because I think that it's sort of like sure, you want to be in playoff contention, one through eight sort of, but I think that within the four, lower play-in positions, you sort of don't want to be in that position, right? And so it's kind of like now it's like you got to be really good. Now you got to be really good to be able to have, to even like kind of be in a position for playoff contention. I had to pause for a bit because it started raining. It's another rainy podcast, baby. Listen, man, that's why I bring an umbrella. That's why I'm prepared for this. This is serious business, all right? This is the premier NBA podcast. I don't know if you can hear any of the rain at all. Maybe I don't know if the mic will pick it up, but it's picking up right now, which is something. Anyways, like I said, the top six seeds matter a whole lot more than they did in the past. I think it's sort of, and then you could argue based on kind of the past, kind of the past seasons with like the Lakers and the Warriors being a part of the play-in, it's like, okay, that gives a bit more, gives viewers something to look forward to, right? So yeah, it's really important to, you know, get into those spots and essentially avoid the play-in. You're like, dang, dude. It's sort of like the wild card draw. I'm not super familiar with it in terms of how, like, baseball or football handles it. But I know that there's kind of, like, you know, the wild card series before going into sort of the action, not actual, but, you know, before going into the kind of the meat of the playoff, you know, the meat of the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, it's, overall, I mean, it's been what, since 2020, has it been since like 2020 that the play-in has kind of started? Oh, you got to be able to hear the rain now. Listen to this. Impeccable timing. Let me just say that. I have no idea if it's, like, picking up any of this, but it would be nice if it did. It might make for a little nice, like, rain. I don't know if anybody is into kind of that ASMR rain, nature sounds, you know? Maybe I'll flip this podcast around and make that into that. You know what I mean? Like, fuck basketball. Like, what am I doing? I'm gonna pause. Hold on. Let me figure this out. Alright, this might make for like an awful listening experience, but the rain sort of calmed down a little bit. Anyways, play-in tournament successful. I mean, it's been what, 3 years, 4 years in the making? Or just kind of going. So I feel that sort of like that sort of, I think it's been enough time where it's been like, okay, this is something that's sort of sustainable or whatever going forward. It can be something that continues to be a part of, like, you know, the NBA system moving forward. So, that's cool. The only thing that sucks, I mean, the thing that sucks is for us, you know, just, you know, where we are in the standings and whatnot. It's going to be a dogfight, man. Next week, I believe it's on Thursday, the Warriors face off against the Rockets. That's going to be a huge game. Huge game. I mean, we'll see where we line up in the standings by next week. I know we have a game tomorrow. I think we have two more games before that Thursday game, but it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be an easy out. The Rockets have won 11 games in a row. I watched the ending of, I was just curious to see kind of, you know, how they were performing. I haven't really watched them a whole lot this year. I've watched them, you know, I've watched them play with like the Warriors, but I haven't really watched them play against other teams. And so I've been curious to see, because they are like the hottest team in the league right now. I think they have the most, I think they have the largest win streak for this season, I believe. That's not something to necessarily take light of. They're clearly doing something right. And so I was curious, I tuned into last night's games against the Jazz. Tight game. It was a pretty good game. Came down to the wire. Basically, Fred VanVleet, he hit a dagger shot. He hit sort of like a 1 foot like floater to bank it in. before like the shot clock went off, that was something. But yeah, it seems like they have something going on there with like Udoka, the kind of the coaching change and sort of the direction that the team is going, investing in players like, you know, VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Jeff Green, kind of bringing in like veterans. Yeah, I mean, that might be something that can potentially bring them more success in the future. And then Jalen Green developing the last, you know, the last 10 plus games, just kind of based on kind of my, like a very surface level view of his performances and, you know, the numbers that he's put up, it's definitely impressive. So when we do face up against, when the Warriors face up against them next week, it'll be interesting to see how we handle them. We won, I believe we beat them. I think it's like, what, have we won all three games against them? We might have dropped one, because I remember we beat them once in Houston. I think we beat them once over here, but I don't remember the result of the other game. We might have lost that one. It's been a while. But they're going to bring it, man. It's going to be, I think it's going to be akin to playoff atmosphere. I know the Rockets are very, they're a young and hungry team and clearly want, I think they want, some of that contention. They want to get into a position where they're playing, meaningful basketball, because for them it's been a very long time, since like 2018, right? Back when, Harden was on the team. That was really the last time they had any, level of, competition, right? With, Harden and Westbrook, and that was kind of the last sort of, that was sort of like the last run for the Harden Rockets. But I think, now this might be something developing for them in the future. So, obviously they want to get a taste of what it's like to compete in meaningful basketball. Obviously as a Warriors fans, I want our team to do the best that we can, but I have to, give some accolades, to them, for their success, sustained success. Next week, man, it's going to be a brawl. I will be sure to tune in, and see how that goes. Let's talk some other games, that I've been able to kind of catch up on. I watched the Knicks and the Spurs play last night. That was a great game. The Knicks came back down from like a 20-point deficit. Jalen Brunson scored 61 points. And then the Spurs pulled it off in overtime because of Wembanyama. He had like a 40-20 game. Crazy. I mean, it's like, it's almost undeniable that the fact that this dude is going to be the next great thing. He's already putting up insane stat lines that haven't been done in, like, forever. It's the fact of, like, the eye test plus the numbers are there to back it up as well, right? Like, you look at the way he performs and you're like, that's insane. He's going to be, like, the greatest. He's going to be the next great player. And then on top of that, you look at, the numbers he's putting up, and you're like, oh, shit, man. It's over, man. It's curtains. if they get even, I don't know, if they get some type of roster around him, or if any of the players, such as, like, Sohan and Devin Vassell, if they develop into, very competent role players, slash maybe potential star players, then I think that they're going to be an incredibly dangerous team. I think the biggest, biggest argument that a lot of people have been saying is just that the Spurs need some kind of point guard to be able to, work together with Wemby and all that. So that's probably one other piece that needs to be added to their puzzle. But man, he's just incredible, dude. The shots he takes, and then just the way I know that it's been talked to death this entire season, and it's been talked to death leading up to the draft last year, but it's still incredible watching him play. Like, it's wild, dude. Like, I if I had the chance for every game, I just want to get like a glimpse of him playing just like every game if I'm able to, because it's ridiculous what he's able to do at his size, the shooting, the handles, just everything. It's the defense, it's crazy. Like, he moves like it just the way he moves too, because like I was this reminds me, because I saw a post on kind of the NBA subreddit earlier this week, where it was like Shaq standing next to this like 7'4" dude. I forgot from where he was exactly, but he's like massive. He kind of dwarfs Shaq. But the way he plays is not at all, you know, it just doesn't translate to the NBA at all, because he has no, you know, he has no mobility at all. Like if you just put him in the dunker spot, that's kind of his position, right? But it's just not something where it translates to, you know, being able to have a career in the NBA. But then you have someone like Wembanyama who has the athleticism, he has the skills, he has all of that at the size that he is. And it's ridiculous. I don't know what to say. Like, you've heard it already. If you've been following at all the coverage from when the scouting reports came from this kid in France, and then just watching him, watching the highlights of him play against the G League and Ignite, rest in peace, back in the summer, I believe, of last year, like, you're like, holy shit, this dude is crazy, dude. It's just like, and then you have your doubts and stuff, and then you watch him play in the league, and you're like, okay, this is for real now. Like, this is really happening. It's wild. It's crazy. I am not like I obviously, I think the narrative, or rather just kind of the thing, is like, it's like, of course he had to go to the Spurs, but then again, it's like the perfect destination. Like, could you imagine him going to Detroit? Like, come on. Like, that would just be a disservice, right? And of course the Spurs are bad now, but like I said, they'll be better. They will be better. But like, if he went to Detroit, or if he went to Washington, or like, I don't know, if he went to Charlotte, like, come on, dude. Oh, if he went to Charlotte, that would be the worst. That would be the worst. I would like throw up in myself. Does that make sense? I would just like feel like shit. I would feel, that would be the worst, honestly. I think if he went to Charlotte, that would have been the worst thing to possibly happen. But he went to the Spurs, and it makes sense. History, you talk about, you know, Tony Parker, French Connection, Greg Popovich. It's all there. The foundation is there. So it's just like, I don't know. Out of all of the tanking teams, it makes sense that he went to the Spurs. It's just like, it's written, right? Like the San Al-Ghaib, as it was written, kind of thing, right? But yeah, incredible game. I mean, Brunson was incredible in that game as well, but it just was, I don't want to say it was overshadowed by Wemby, but it was just more so like incredible to watch that, you know, two really awesome performances go off, you know, against each other's respective teams. Good stuff there. I watched a ton, dude. I watched a ton. Earlier in the week, or rather, was this on Thursday? Thursday I was watching the Hawks and the Celtics game. It was coming down to the wire, went into OT, and I went to have dinner, and then I came back, and then DeJounte Murray hit a game winner. Like, I missed that, and I was like, God, why do I miss those? I miss those moments, you know what I mean? Like, I miss the buzzer beaters. Like, I miss those more than I see them. Like, it's like the ratio of me actually viewing it live is less than the times that I've seen it. But crazy stuff. I don't know if this really means a whole lot for the Celtics. I feel like this is just sort of a, I don't know, mini kind of whatever. They're ready for the postseason. I know that there's a lot of discussion about the Celtics' ability to close and that sort of thing, and I'm sure that will be an issue. That will probably continue to be an issue until they can prove that they can close out games and series and whatnot, but they're still the best team in the league, right? I mean, you could argue Denver with Jokic and stuff, but even Denver's kind of struggling a little bit. So I don't know, man. It's not. Yeah, like you could argue that Boston is still clearly the heavy title contender in the East, at least. But I mean, the West is wide open. It's wide open. It feels kind of pretty wide open throughout, anyway. Obviously, there are some matchups that heavily favor, you know, the top seeded teams like Denver and Boston. But I think that there's still going to be teams that cause problems. Last night, another game, dude. I'm going crazy, man. I'm just watching basketball. I've been fiending for basketball because I haven't watched a whole lot in the past couple of weeks. But I was just on League Pass. I was just on there like an addict, like a sicko. But I was on there, man. I was watching. I was just sort of like fiending for some basketball, and I've been able to catch up. Last night I watched parts of the Timberwolves and the Nuggets play. The Timberwolves, they were locking up Denver. They had like a 20-point lead on them, and it sort of like dwindled down, but it never really got close. They started doing like the Haka Gobert thing, and that made it like almost unbearable to watch the rest of the game. I'm like, is this gonna get close, or is this just gonna be like miserable for the rest of this like fourth quarter? And it was kind of miserable. I mean, it was just I hate that strategy. I get it. It's like sort of like it's potentially feasible to make it work because Gobert was missing a ton of free throws, but it just was unwatchable. It was a miserable viewing experience, man. There was just no pace to the game at all. I still sat and kind of watched through it because I'm like, is Denver going to come back? Like, Jokic is hitting some shots. Like, you know, he could turn it up, but it just never happened. So, yeah, the Timberwolves turned it on. They looked, you know, they're like the number one defense in the league this year. Yeah, they're definitely, they're definitely a threat, for sure, I think, to Denver, with this performance, right? And I think that it's, well, first of all, I think it's exciting for Minnesota fans to be able to, you know, get to a point where their team is, you know, one of the best teams in the league. I know that they've gone through the trials and tribulations throughout the years, the decades, and they still kind of are with the whole like ownership thing. I was reading up on with their current owner, Glenn Taylor, Alex Rodriguez, and then the other guy. What's that other guy's name? Mark Lohr. I mean, it's just like ultimately all that is just like squabbling of rich people and billionaires, and it doesn't really matter that much, but it's still kind of a hindrance, right, to the team. But regardless of that, I think it's exciting to see these franchises that haven't had a ton of success in the past have some level of success, right? Like earlier, back in February, I was talking about the Detroit Lions, who have been sort of the kind of the kind of the mock of the NFL, you know, get to the, you know, NFL conference finals, and just kind of seeing how excited the city of Detroit was for their success. I think that kind of thing is like awesome to see, you know. So I feel similar type of way for these teams that haven't had a ton of success in the past get to a certain level to where they can be something, you know, they can be proud of something, and it's possible that this is sustainable in the future moving forward, right? They got their superstar in Ant. They still have their star in Cat, even though he's injured. And, yeah, like, Gobert is sort of, he's still technically in his prime and in, like, his 30s. But, if he's able to kind of maintain that for the next couple of years, I don't know how that's going to work, then I think they're going to be a threat for a little while. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes for them. But I'm happy for those. I feel happy for, you know, fans of the franchises that have endured a lot of suffering over the decades, because I do know how that feels. And I mean, I know it's sort of like it's I always have to do like a little asterisk, like, listen, I'm a Warriors fan, I do know how that feels, but I don't want it to be like, you know, I don't want it to come off as like this like humble brag type of thing. Who fucking cares? Like, you know what I mean, right? Like, certain teams, they go through it, and you know the Warriors did go through it in the past, so that I understand that kind of feeling. So it's just the whatever. It is what it is, and so I mean, hopefully, you know, hope for some success for some of these teams. Obviously, not all the success as someone who is a Warriors fan. What else? I don't know. There's a lot. I've caught up with a lot of basketball. It's all just kind of like just muddled up in my brain. I'm like trying to like process all of it. Like, I'm looking at playoff contention picture. I'm looking at the seeding. I'm looking at the play-in tournament. I'm looking at what the game breaks are between the Warriors and the Rockets right now. There's like a one game break, or it's like more like point. Is it one game or 0.5? It doesn't matter. It's close. It's gonna come down to the wire, which is both exciting and nerve-wracking. I mean, I'm sort of in the mindset where I'm almost like ready. I mean, it's not a good mindset to have. I'm almost ready to accept that if we lose, that's it, man. And then we move on. And that's kind of it. I don't see. I talked about this with my friends, and I was sort of trying to argue that, hey, listen, if we get a good playoff matchup against a team like, who's like inexperienced, maybe like the Wolves. I mean, that's, I don't know if even that's like a good example. If we match up against a team like the Thunder or something, then there's a potential that we might be able to, you know, win a first round series. But but if it's Denver, it's wraps, right? So like I and then obviously we have to just get past the play-in in general, which requires us to win two games. That's tough, man. That's tough. So, you know, if we get in, we have to get past, we have to stay above the Rockets. And listen, we've had a good stretch, man. Like I've mentioned, we won in Miami, we won in Orlando back to back, impressive, you know, very impressive stretch of games there, and then we won on Charlotte yesterday. Good stuff, man. Is that a 4-game winning streak, or is that a 3-game winning streak? Doesn't matter. We got a little streak going on. I don't know if that's going to carry through. I'm not going to put too much into it, because the odds are stacked very heavily against the Warriors right now. I mean, 10th seed is like, it's the worst place to be. So even, it's like, even if we get somehow stay above the Rockets, and then we play against the 9th seed, which is either going to be the Lakers or the Suns, we got to play there. We got to play in LA. We got to play in Phoenix. Maybe Sacramento falls. They've been kind of faltering a little bit. I mean, they lost against the Mavericks twice, and so they're probably going to be in the play-in as well. That means we gotta either play in LA, you know, once, LA or Phoenix, and then we have to play in Sacramento or Phoenix. It's, you know, 7-8 right now, it's Sacramento and Phoenix. So we have no, like, I don't know, like, we have performed well on the road this year, but it's just gonna be different. We have to win on the road twice to get into the playoffs, where we still are not going to have, I mean, obviously we're not going to have home court advantage. So, it's rough, man. That's a toughie. You could look at last year's Heat team and talk about them getting into the playoffs, but I mean that's just kind of an outlier. That whole run was crazy and historic, you know, an A seed getting into the finals, crazy. But yeah, I mean they still ended up getting their ass handed against the Nuggets. So it's just like I don't know. It's going to be a very hard-fought battle, and I'm kind of in the mindset where, hey, listen. I'm going to enjoy the individual victories. I'm going to enjoy each win. And I'm going to enjoy, the highs, and I'm going to accept the lows. And if we end up getting in a position, I'm just sort of like, look, it's not going to end in the way we want it to. Last year, I talked about how this year, before the season started, how this might be kind of the end of things. I really feel like after this season, the 2024-2025 season, I feel like it's really going to be the end of, kind of the Curry run, the Curry era, unless we somehow make some big trades, big moves in the off season to acquire some help. It's just kind of what it is, man. And I want to enjoy what we have, even if it isn't much. We're not a great team. We've had some very impressive wins this season, and I'm really happy that I was able to, watch and experience some of those. I was able to go to a couple of Warriors games earlier in the season, and they were a lot of fun. I watched Klay hit a game winner against the Kings. That was awesome. That was incredible to be part of in person. And I want to remember that, obviously I think the popular discussion point about this team this season is sort of like the underperforming of the team, and just the fact that we weren't even able to get into they weren't even able to get into a playoff position. But I want to remember the other moments, the win against the Celtics, the OT win against the Celtics, just like moments like that, right? There's been a lot of bad this season for sure. All the 20-point blown leads, I totally get that, and I've complained about it. But I just want to kind of let that go a little bit. Like, I think I'll still have, my complaints and criticisms, whatever, of the coaching staff and the rotations, like all that stuff. But with like 10-ish games remaining, I just want to write it out. I want to see what I get. I'll be disappointed with, how things go, maybe. But I want to enjoy it for what I get, what might be, one of Curry's last great seasons. I want to enjoy that, because it's not this period of time. Like, most teams don't get to experience this type of, legacy team with like three all-time great players, right? And even though I feel that I've kind of lived through those moments as best as I can, back almost 10 years ago when they made their first championship run, those moments are kind of in my memory, but I still feel like I take them for granted. I still take for granted that they won four championships in the span of over a decade. I don't think I'm fully appreciating that, because that's greatness. That is. It's incredible. It's an incredible feat. And you could argue with, like, you know, during the KD years, it's like, oh, it's just kind of super team cobbled together, like, whatever. But it's still, those are still some incredible basketball players, you know, and you're experiencing some incredible basketball moments in those periods. So, I'd like, you just have to enjoy every moment, right? I enjoy you know, seeing Curry. I mean, I'm probably gonna have this whole spiel when Curry retires. Like, it's gonna be, honestly, it's honestly gonna be kind of emotional, because, and I've talked about this before too, but I started watching the Warriors really heavily, really, you know, in 2009 when they drafted Curry. I sort of had an inkling of what the team was. You know, I was in that period during elementary school when I was really starting to get into basketball and all that. And I was playing basketball, you know, during recess and all that. It was like the year he was drafted. I didn't know about, like, Davidson or anything like that. It was just like, you know, there's just like, oh, this kid could be something. And then I remember his first, like, triple-double. And I was like, wow, this is like, incredible. The backcourt of him and Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis getting traded. Me getting upset that Monte Ellis was getting traded. Not understanding the concept of, you know, trades at that time. And, you know, how... And understanding the how, you know, it's sort of the draft or whatever. And I'm like, I don't, like, we're just losing all the time, man. Like, this sucks. Like, why are we trading away our best player? And then, you know, that's why you're not in sports management, 14-year-old. No, I was younger than that. You know, 12-year-old me. Like, that's why you're not, you know, that's why you don't manage sports teams. But it's just all of this process. You know, I'm lamenting a bit, like, whatever, I'm going a bit too far, maybe, but it's all part of it. And even this kind of, like, down season where we're a very middling team, or we've had, you know, blown leads and everything, like, you gotta enjoy what you get. You gotta enjoy the wins. You experience the awful losses. Because this period of time is not gonna last forever. It's coming to an end. And you just have to appreciate that, you know? At least that's kind of how I'm feeling about it. It's gonna come to a point where we're gonna be, like, 3 years down the line, 3-4 years down the line, we're gonna be bad again. Like, we're gonna be really bad. So, I mean, unless something happens, like, I don't know, some crazy thing happens where we draft another, you know, generational player, like, we're not going to be good, you know, unless we, or if we try to stay, you know, middle of the pack, like some teams do, like the Bulls and, like, the Hawks or whatever, and we stay that course where we're just in constant play-in contention, which I don't know if we really want that, but that could be something as well. But more likely than not, we're gonna be a bad team in the somewhat near future. I mean, we're kind of a bad team now, but so you just have to enjoy what we have, even if it's not the best. That's my spiel. I'll talk more Warrior stuff. I'll talk more basketball in the upcoming week. We got a lot of big games. Like I mentioned, that game against the Rockets, I will talk about it. I honestly want to do almost like an instant reaction sort of thing. Maybe record, like, you know, record something like the day after or something to talk about it. Because, again, a lot of stakes, a lot of things in contention with that game, which is exciting. So, yeah. Anyways, thanks for listening, as always. This has been Save the Semantics, signing off.